Session number 16721, Edward Greig, Reel 7.
Mr. Greig, Reel 7. We were discussing hospital discipline, Mr. Greig. Did you have to stand by your beds when you got up in the morning?
Oh, yes. You had to be up in the morning and washed and shaved. And your best behaviour.
It was still a kind of military discipline.
Military. It was a military hospital. They were all army men, you know, forces that were in the hospital. And you had to be up and washed, ready for the doctor to come around. Very good.
Were they British doctors?
Yes, you got the odd Indian doctor as well, you know. Those Indians, the doctors were pretty good.
Did they feed you well?
Yes, we got good meals. Then from the hospital, we went into a convalescent camp, just out more or less the other side of the hospital. And you could get out and about the town, Pune, you know, in places of interest, but you had to obey to the rules, you know. You had to go daft, you know, because malaria at that time, this was a treatment. After hospital, you had about a month's convalescent. Then you were sent back to your units.
What was Pune like as a place?
Well, it was a nice city, race course, tarmac roads and what have you. What made us, after you went down the road and come back about an hour later and sat in the tarmac was white lettering, quit India.
So yeah,
it was amazing. You just seemed to blink and they were there. They were this was Gandhi, his white hat people, you know.
Were there any other problems with them? Did they riot and things like that while you were there?
Oh, not when we were there. When I was in the hospital there, they were pretty quiet. And what was shortly after, we come through Pune one time and he was on his last legs, he was dying, and he was in a big house, and all the Indians were there, like, and our convoy was passing, like, and that's all you heard, the lad shouting, die, you old so-and-so, you know. But on the whole, Bombay and that, you got the riots, the bomb and that, but they weren't too bad.
Were there leisure activities laid on in the convalescent camp for you?
Oh, yeah, there was enough. Yes, you could go and have your tumble or that, like, you know, bingo.
I was disciplined a little bit more relaxed there than...
Oh, yes. See, when you were in the camp, next to the sun, you know, you had to, if you went from here to there, outside, you had to have your tube on. Otherwise, your feet never hit the bottom. You were in, they're charged, you know. The sun was that hot.
How long were you there in the camp?
Oh, about roughly a month. Then, while we were in the camp, in the hospital, and convalescent, the brigade, they went to the Arakan. Well, there was a lot of us, well, a few of us left behind still, having my treatment. And when we come out of the hospital, we went back to Ahmednagar. There's a big fort there. And all this transport and that had been left there. And there was transport, the drivers and that left there to keep, you know, look after the transport till the brigade eventually come back. They had a bit rough time in Arakan and they were brought back to Ahmednagar.
Were they telling you when they arrived back, were they telling you about what they'd been through and what the Japanese were
different.
Like?
Yes.
What kind of things were you hearing?
Well, they were down towards a place called Akiyama, and the drill was that we were going to make a crossing for the river mouth, you know, across to this Akiyama to get farther down into Burma. And the big chiefs went down the day before to check it over, you know, and plan it all. And we heard that on the way back, the Welsh CO seen a map case go into the bushes. And when the chap checked up, this map case had everything gone that was going to happen. And seemingly, as we heard, it belonged to the brigadier. And the next morning, they sent old spotter plane over, which was the main plane we had then. We had no fighters out like buzzing around helping us. But when they got the picture back, Japanese had everything there.
How had the map case been flung out in that way?
Well, they all come back through the bush. And the CO, he's seen the map case lying in the bush, you know. Well, that brigadier, he just left and taken away, and we heard, you know, the bush telegraph, like we heard, oh, this brigadier had been, this is the one that, I tell you, the horse's hoof had to.
Do you recall his name at all?
I just kind of think his name, but he was, eventually they said he was being flown out, and they heard that the plane had had an accident, or something had crashed. Whether this is true or not, I don't know. But this happened in Arakan.
So the thought was that through this carelessness, the Japanese got to know what was going to happen.
Well,
and presumably
this is it. Like they must have knew that something like this. Of course, when the battalion went, I wasn't in this action. There were a lot of Inskillings and had a rough time of it, like, you know, down in this end, the headland Akiyama. Northern, there was the coast, that range of mountains, then your way down into the main, Burma, you know. Well, there was Indian divisions up the other side of the mountain. Our brigade was the seaside, filtering our way down. When the Japs attacked the Indians, and they just scarpered, and they come over the top, the Japs, and we were cut off. The battalion was cut, the brigade was cut off. And the brigade headquarters got a bit thumping, lost a few lads. And there's the second command took over, and he got the lads out along the beaches. He had to transport anything that would move, anything broke down, towing it along the beaches, and the lads were sheltering behind this to get out, you know.
What was the morale of the men like when you joined them, when you did rejoin them? Or when they rejoined you, whichever way it was.
Well, the Akiyama business, it wasn't a success, but they learned a lot. You know, they were telling us tales like they used to have these hate shoots where during the night, you know, at night, they were all dug in, camouflaged up. And the Jap patrols used to come through, and you could practically touch them, you know. Then the next morning, the patrols would go back. Then the next morning, Everybody was out the holes, the mortars, the artillery, and bang, 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 bang at the Japs. Then they were back in the holes, and Jap was hauling everything back. What they call these, a hate shooting.
Like a morning hate.
Ah. Then the next night they'd done the same. And this was puzzling the Japs, you know. There was a big pillbox there that the Jap was in, and the lads were on top of it, and the Japs used to shell it. You know, it was a very strong hole. They even got all the pitmen, you know, the pit lads, and that, and they tunneled underneath it and put a charge in that under, and it didn't shift. These are the stories that come through to us, you know, that we were told.
Were they beginning, with it being their first action, to respect the Japanese soldier as a soldier?
Oh, yes, well, it's the jungle training. We had jungle training, but this was something different to what we had been taught, you know. And this is what helped us at Kohima.
The experiences in the Akyo.
That's right. I mean, the monsoons, the weather, monsoons. This would beat the Jap. They used to lay up when there's heavy rains, but we didn't. We kept on pushing. We used to be in our holes up to our waist in water. And the officers, the medical officers, used to say, according to rules and regulations, them fellas should be dead with pneumonia and stuff like this, you know. We used to go and get the injections, you know, typhus and all these. About four together, you know, and you used to go and they're just the both sides, you know.
Four needles.
You got the injections, typhus, grass, and anything you mentioned, we got it. You got the, you've heard, probably heard the story of the big healthy big fellas going, you know, and soon they see the needle. it's true. But,
when did you rejoin the battalion? You've come from your convalescence, you're in Armagh. When did you reach them?
A couple of months when the battalion, the brigade come back to the to Armagh, back to the division. You see, there was just the Armagh, the first Duffy, that was the 6th Brigade. They left the div and went into the Arakan. Then they rejoined the division. You know.
What happened next?
We're training and that. We ended up at Bombay, as I was telling you, we're landing. Had enough ships and this is when the Middle East it was moving into Italy, and we were on these boats training and that, and we had everything on to, we were going to be shipped through the Suez to go to Italy. And this is when the balloon went up. Chappie was sitting on the Indian border.
Was this a rumor you were going to Italy, or had you actually been told you were going to Italy?
This is the, you know, the
rumor, the American scuttlebug, as they call it.
That's it, aye.
What can't you say? You say it was this landing type of training you were getting from the sea. What exactly did it? What kind of training was it?
Well, what transport was on the ships, and it was lowered down into the landing crafts. You went down and scrambling nets and on your vehicle, you know, and the motor crews all. They took it to the shore, and you had to, you know, shallow or deep, you had to get off that landing craft. And this was good training for you, you know.
Was anyone seriously hurt in training of this nature?
Well, not in training. We had two officers. They were called Todd, and they were good lads, you know, officers. And one of the brothers, he hit a place called Tana where we were training. They were in swimming, and one of the brothers just disappeared. I don't think they found him. But after when he went missing, all the swimmers in the battalion, everybody was out trying to find him. Good lad, you know. But that was about it. Like, you know,
when you have accidents like that, was there an inquiry afterwards to try and find out what had happened?
Well, there was an inquiry in about this thing, but it was just normal swimming, you know. The leisure time, you know, you just went in swimming.
How long were you doing this training?
Oh, about a month or so, you know.
And then you say
this is when I got malaria and I got whittled away.
Was that you got malaria after this and then you went there? When you moved, after the malaria and you'd rejoined the battalion, or the battalion rejoined the division, did you then move on to into Burma, or what happened to you then?
Well, we were in Bombay. This is when the balloon
went up.
They were
still
there. Yeah. Right, the balloon went up. That's just the way it slid in there. And they whipped everybody off the boat onto the rail and whipped us across. We had to Dimapur, which was the rail head. It was about 10 miles from Kahima.
How long was that journey?
Oh, 2 or 3 days, something like that.
Did you know that you were going to face the Japanese?
We knew. We, you know, that the balloon had went up. And when we got to Dimapur, the carriers, we had a pot of tea, unloaded pot of tea, and away up the road. Patrols, you know.
And were you in that patrol situation yourself?
Yes,
a motorman?
Well, I was a driver, driving the carrier, you know.
Did you come across any Japanese whilst on these patrol activities?
You could see them on the hills, but there was the deadline. Kihim itself was cut off.
What was the terrain like that you're in now?
Hills, mountains. You would call them mountains. Out there, there were hills. Terrific. And the main road just twirled in and out of them, you know.
And the Japanese were on the top of those hills, did you say?
Yes, Kihima was right on the top. It was a convalescent station, hill station.
Had you been told at this point in time what was happening at Kahima, what the situation was there?
Well, we
was the Royal West Kents were already in there?
That's it. Uh-huh. Well, we eventually got the story, you know. And I think it was Berkshire Regiment, they got through, they broke through and relieved the lads, you know.
And what happened to you?
Well, eventually the whole brigade, we come up the middle, and this is when they start pushing the Jap out, climbing up, got onto the top, you know, digging in, and made a stand. I was up with the carriers and transport people, we were way back.
So you weren't in the action with the rifle companies of the battalion Kahima itself?
See, you couldn't fight even with tanks. Now, tanks, there's one, it's still there, they're trying to get it home. And it had to be more or less winched and manhandled up to get this position, you know.
Were you able to use your mortars, though?
Oh, yeah, well, mortars, they went with the battalion. They were up on the hill.
But you weren't with them?
I wasn't with them. When the mortars were dug in a position, and we were back at company headquarters, or battalion headquarters, say, we used to get the jobs of running supplies up the road, and you could get to a certain point at Kahima. It was a morgue on the side of the road. Then there was a big gully, more or less opposite, and you used to run the supplies up for tins, rations and stuff, ammunition, and then it was carried, one-handled up to the lads. Of course, from there, once you got out that gully, it was head down and up and running, and a lot of lads with the Jap snipers lost their lives. You know, earlier on I mentioned a lad that at Bridlington had joined me and piled up. He got killed up there.
What was his name again?
Called him Tomlinson. Percy Tomlinson belongs to Sheffield.
Did you get involved in taking food up to them, or were they actually sending people down?
Oh, dears, yes.
So, in your own experience, can you describe that route up? You've done it in general terms, but from your own memory, can you
go across the lakes, going up onto Helvellyn, just like that.
And did you say under fire from Japanese snipers?
Well, the times are when you get up, you know, you automatically kept your head down then.
What was the scene that you recall when you got to the top of
it? Oh, it was bare, scraggly trees that were shelling and grenades. But there's one time the Japs were throwing grenades. Our lads were like a snowball fight with grenades.
How far apart were the two lines?
Oh. Well, you know, offhand, well.
Very close.
Yeah, very close. And more or less breathing down each other's necks, you know.
Were the rifle companies then on Garrison Hill? Was this the
Not
position they were in?
This is when the companies, the rifle companies, they were up there in the thick of it. The likes of mortars, they were up there on the edge, and they were mortaring around, you know.
Were the supplies, could you get through during the day with supplies, or was it a night time activity?
No, it was always during the day. At night, see, we've got some Indian troops put in to defend the back end in case. Where we were up on this hillside, you know, dug in. All the transport was down on the roadside. You couldn't get the transport off the road, you know. And these binders were these Sikhs, Indians, you know, and of course we said, hey, we are here, mind. Don't shoot us up. And any noise there or there, you know, we'll shoot. But not there. But eventually, you know, you got to use them.
Were wounded coming back to you from the hill?
Yes, I. I remember that on the stretcher, his arm was off and it was just put on and strapped. He said to me, "Is my arm all right?" And, you know, he says, "It's no, my God." I said, "Oh, I don't, there it is." And I'd give the lad a cigarette, you know, and he was wearing that one. Walking wounded.
Were any men coming off who just snapped, who couldn't take any more.
Oh, farther on, there's fellas, the mine just were cracking, and I'm going to the tower tanks and banging on to get the tank out of it, you know.
Out of the fire, within the tank itself.
Yeah. Even when it was quiet, you know, the thinking about things and the mind's going. You know, it's an aftermath of all of this, and you start thinking about it, and there's odd times you wake up, well, even now, and you've been dreaming about it, you know, and you think, dear God.
You would obviously be hearing the fighting going on.
Then eventually when Kihima got cleared, it was about 100 miles or so down to Imphal. And the Japs were running, you know, now and again, they stopped then. It was another running battle all the way.
When were you there when relief came in to relieve you from the positions you were in? Was it still a siege position that you'd relieve the West Kents in?
And we fought and cleared Kihima and moved after the Japs. No, we got the mood regiments back. We come back to Dimapur to reorganise, you know, and I had a parade, and it was about 200 to 300 men that actually, original men, come back. Well, the battalion strength was about 800, 900, something like that, you know. Of course, this was wounded and killed, you know.
You yourself hadn't got into a situation where you were firing at Japanese, had you?
Oh, no. As I said, we were back.
Now you're in the echelon.
The echelon, that's it, you know. But then we got reinforcements.
The morale of the people who did come back, you lost a great number of people, friends and comrades. What was the morale like?
Well,
did you feel you'd beat the Japs?
It was good feeling, you know, that I know that about this time the normally thing was we got the odd measure, you know, and we thought, oh, we've got them not on the run now.
Will you begin to feel that you were, I understand, you were the forgotten army, all the kudos was going elsewhere?
No doubt about it. I mean, Kihima, what won that battle there was the Dakotas flying supplies in. Down at Dimapur, the airstrip there, the good part of the second div was flown in from India in the Dakotas. Every 20 minutes, one landed and everybody was out, and away he went. Another one took his place. They've done a wonderful job.
Were they dropping supplies for the battalion on the ridge?
Well, for the forces, and they come down the parachutes, you know, and got clung onto trees, and then this was you wait a fingernails in the way and. You think, right, I'll have that one. And boom, the British snipers. Jab, where they went off a straight jab, got them, you know. And you'd grab a pack, pull it back, you know, and when you open it up, was a big tin of ghee, like lard, or a tin of ammunition, or, you know, stuff like this.
Depend pot looking away what kind of
that's right, well,
you got.
Of course, when it comes out, it was all tainted to a central